Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
You know, I think so much preaching the gospel is such a great blessing, and you want to do a good job. And I thought about the preacher who sometimes would forget what he was going to say. Now, I'm sure that's never happened, Brother Kevin, but the preacher sometimes forget what he was going to say. And he was talking to a preacher friend of his, and he said, do you ever forget what you're going to say while you're preaching? He said, yeah. I said, I do sometime, every now and then. And he said, well, what do you do when you forget what you're going to say? He said, well, I will just start quoting Scripture. And he said, I'll quote Scripture, Brother Turner, until I can remember what it was I was going to say. Well, sure enough, it wasn't very long until he did forget what he was going to say, but it happened to be at a wedding ceremony. And he could only think of one passage of Scripture, and that was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So my prayer is that as we study the Bible, that it'll be appropriate and help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you and I study the Bible, let me encourage you, invite your friends to come this evening. Our lesson is, how will you finish? You know, it's easy to start. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon made the statement, he said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. How will you finish? When you and I think about Monday night, our lesson is entitled, The Importance of the Church. And then on Tuesday evening, our lesson is entitled, When I See the Blood. And then on Wednesday evening, Get a Life. And so hopefully, you can come and be with us in all of these services. Jesus said in John 12 and verse number 48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I speak unto you, they shall judge you in the last day. In the book of Revelation chapter number 20, we find that John writes, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that was in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works. In Acts 17, 30 and 31, the Bible said, In the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, for He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, and given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised him from the dead. You and I, the Bible says, for we all, 1 Corinthians 5:10, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You and I know that this book will be open. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You and I understand that the Bible tells us in Psalm 1 and verse number 1, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That you and I in the day of judgment, the Bible teaches us that this book will be open. That's why Paul said, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In John chapter number 14, you remember that Jesus said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas says unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As you and I look at our lesson today, we're going to be looking at the solid foundation. Now, when you think about a foundation, laying a solid foundation. When you think about a foundation, the Bible says, For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. When you and I go to the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he said, Now, there are some who have planted, others have watered, but God has given the increase. When you and I know the essentiality of having the right kind of foundation. in Matthew chapter number 7. You remember that our Lord said, "Not every man that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he which doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Many will come to me that day and they'll say, "Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out devils and in your name do many wonderful works?" And I will profess unto them, "I never knew you." Now, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord is talking about the fact that there are some, he said, "Whosoever hears these sayings of mine," he's talking about building their house on the rock rather than on the sand. He said, "The rains descended and the floods came and the wind blew and it beat upon that house because it was built upon the sand. But blessed is the man who hears these sayings and he builds his house on a firm foundation." When you and I look at the foundation, so many times marriages crumble because they have been built on a weak foundation. I remember there was a young couple many years ago. They came to me and they wanted to get married. And unfortunately, that marriage didn't last. They sat in my office and I made the statement. I'm surprised that he didn't run me out of my own office, but I made the statement to the young lady whom he was married. I said to her, I said, "Let me tell you, if you want to work all your life and support him, then you get married to him because he's not going to work. He's lazy." Somebody said, "You said that?" Yeah. Why? Because that marriage was not going to be built on a strong, firm foundation. And it wasn't. When you and I look at Christianity, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, you remember what Matthew tells us? Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Some said, "Well, thou art Elias, or John the Baptist, or one of the prophets." Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." You and I know that on the day of Pentecost, the church was established. Our Lord said, "I will build my church." It is built on His foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. And so when you and I look at life, when you and I look at Christianity, I'm simply suggesting to you and I today that there must be a solid foundation. In the book of Matthew chapter number 13, the Bible says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell." The Bible said some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds came and took the seed, took the word. You know, there are many of us today, unfortunately, you know, we want to go off chasing birds. But notice that he kept sowing. "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside." Then he said, "Some fell among stony ground." What do we find? "And then some fell among the thorns, and then some fell on good ground." But when you and I look at Matthew 13, and the Bible says that some fell on stony ground and did not have the right kind of foundation. That some fell among the thorns. Again, not a good foundation, because the Bible says they came up and choked the word out of them. My friend, you and I must build our life. We must build Christianity. We must build the Christian life upon a firm and solid foundation. Now, three things that'll help us do that. We must build our life on the foundation of God. If God, if that's not the foundation. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 5, you remember Moses? God had appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And he said, "Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt. Deliver my people out of bondage." Moses goes down to Pharaoh and he said to Pharaoh, God said, "Let my people..." Now I paraphrase this. "Let my people go." Listen to what Pharaoh said. "Who is the Lord that I should obey Him?" Now, I'm sure you've heard this before, but someone said God sent him a free Bible correspondence course with 10 lessons, and he soon learned who the Lord was. He asked, "So who is the Lord that I should obey Him?" Who is God? You know, this concept of God, we run into it on a daily basis. I thought about the little boys. There were two little boys. They were kind of rambunctious. Their mother had a hard time controlling them. And the congregation where they attended got a new preacher. And so somebody told the mother, said, look, why don't you take your boys down and maybe they'll let the preacher talk to them. Maybe he can help them out or something. So she set an appointment, got to talk to the secretary, set an appointment with the preacher. So she took her boys, they're about 11 years old, nine, older than 11, the younger 9 years old. And so she took them down. And so the preacher, he come out of his office and he said, now, the little 11-year-old said, you come on in and sit down in my office. So he came in. And the preacher had a nice office, you know, and the little boy sat down in this chair, man, almost swallowed him up, you know. He's kind of sitting there, and the preacher's behind his desk, and he said, son, where is God? Well, the little boy, he just kind of scooted down a little more, you know. He didn't know what to say, hardly. Finally, the preacher said, son, where is God? Well, he drew up, left. Preacher gets up and comes around side his desk. He said, son, where is God? Boy, the little boy jumped up out of that chair. Man, he ran out of that office. He grabbed his little brother and they ran home and they got in the closet. And the boy said, brother, let me tell you, God's missing and they think we've got him. Well, you know, this idea, who is God? That when you and I look at that foundation and the foundation of God, who is the Lord that I should obey Him? Have you ever thought about what the Bible says about God? That He is the Creator of all things. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, the Bible says God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, and then in those next verses, the Bible teaches that God created the heaven and the earth. He is the Creator. Ladies and gentlemen, God is the Creator of all things. There is a lady somewhere in the States, I forget now where it is, and she is running for the Senate in that state, and she said, I'm an atheist. I don't mind telling you I'm an atheist. I think that religion is something that we do not need. God. We have this idea. Evolutionist, atheist. Reminds me of a little story, a little tale, you've heard it. Once I was a tadpole swimming in the sea, then I was a monkey swinging from a tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. And that is the idea that our world and our society has. God is a creator. God made us. He made heaven and earth. In Genesis 1, the Bible says God breathed into man's nostrils and man became a living soul. God made you and God made me. And He is the creator. But not only that, God is a consuming fire. Deuteronomy 4:24. The Bible says that God is a consuming fire. See, folks, people don't realize who they're dealing with when it comes to God. What we have done, we want to make man God and God man. He is a consuming fire. The Bible says in Genesis 18 that He is a destroyer. You remember what Abraham said? Will thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? When you and I look and study the Bible and we come to these terminologies or this terminology regarding God, that He is a creator, He is a destroyer, that He is a consuming fire. Not only that, but the Bible says He is a forgiver. Psalm 85 verse 2, Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. He is a God of love. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is a creator, a consuming fire. He is a forgiver. He is a destroyer. He is a God of love. He is a God of mercy, ladies and gentlemen. Who is God? When you and I build our lives on that foundation, there are those who say, I don't believe in God. Let me tell you something. God's still there. You may not believe in Him, but He is still there. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I must build our foundation. Now, I want to show you how this fits into our lives. In the book of Psalm, chapter 90, and verse number 1, notice what the psalmist said. He said, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. In Psalm 91, he talks about dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. In Psalm 4 and verse 8, again, he talks about our dwelling with God. That word dwell, I looked that word up. I want to get a better grasp of what the word means. The word dwell means to sit, to stay, to remain. When you and I look at the Bible, do you and I sit, stay, remain? One thing have I desired of thee, the psalmist said in Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of thee, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That thou mayest know. You remember what Paul said to Timothy? That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That when you and I put ourselves into the body of Jesus Christ, and the Bible tells us that we're added to that body, that God, who is the Creator, who is a destroyer, who is a forgiver, who is a consuming fire, who is a God of love, a God of mercy, and now the Bible says that He hath been our dwelling place in all generations. When you and I look at that, do we dwell? There are those... Brother Benji Slocum, who preaches in the Shannon Church down in the Atlanta area, I heard him talk one time. He was talking about church hoppers. Now, you probably don't have them here, but he said the one thing you can always depend on a church hopper is that they won't be there. Now, when you and I look at that word dwell, sit, remain within the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so we're at Psalm 90. Look at Psalm 46. When you and I see and we look at God as the foundation, and the Bible says in Psalm number 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the earth shake with the swelling thereof, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. When you look at Psalm number 46, there's only a few verses there. But more than 20 times in that Psalm, the Bible talks about God, the Lord, referring to Him as the Almighty. God is our refuge. That you and I look to God for the strength that we need in this life. God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. I thought about the young lady. She had a baby. Had a babysitter. And the babysitter took care of the child during the daytime. And one day the babysitter called and said, "Look, you've got to come home. The baby's sick. This child is running a fever, and the sooner you need to get home." So she went to the supervisor and she said, "Look, my baby's sick. I need to go home. Can I?" And she said, "Sure, go ahead. You'll go ahead." And so she called the babysitter and she said, "Look, I'm on my way home." She said, "Look, the baby's running a fever. Maybe you need to stop and get something." And so she stopped at the pharmacy and went in and got some medication. And when she came back out, she discovered she had locked her keys in the car. And she said, "What am I going to do?" So she called the baby. She said, I don't know what I'm going to do. She said, "I've locked the keys in my car and I can't get in." And the babysitter said, "Well, you know, she had heard this tale, get a coat hanger some way or another, and get a coat hanger and lift it up." And anyway, she said, "Get a coat hanger, maybe." And so she looked around the ground, and sure enough, there was a coat hanger, but she didn't know what to do with it. She prayed, "God, God help me. I've got to find a way. I've got to get there." And about that time, the motorcycle came, boom, 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 great big old motor. And this old dude sitting on it, you know, had a do-rag on his head, and he had tattoos all over his arm. And he comes up and boom, you know, and he said, "Ma'am, can I help you?" And she said, "Look, my baby's sick, running a fever. I've got to get home. I stopped to get some medicine. I locked my keys in the car. I can't get in my car and I need some help. And is there any way you can help me?" He said, "Well, I might be able to help you." And man, in 30 seconds, he had that door open. And she grabbed him around the neck. She said, "Man, you're a great man." He said, no, ma'am, I'm not a great man. He said, "I just got out of prison 10 days ago for car theft." She grabbed him and hugged him again. She said, when God sends help, He sends a professional. You know, God is our refuge and strength. He is our foundation, a very present help in trouble. Now, let me go to another one. Psalm 27. The Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. The foundation of God. When you and I, when we teach our children, I don't have time to preach on this morning, but I'd like to sometime. We lose our children by the time they're in the 7th or 8th grade. Brother Roy Johnson, who directs the Lads to Leaders, mentioned one day at the lectureship in Memphis School of Preaching, and he talked about a book, Already Gone. I read that book. And what Ken Ham, who has wrote that book, said, he said that we have basically lost... he said they still attend, but once they get away from home, will they do that? See, ladies and gentlemen, that foundation is God. Now, let's go to the second thing. When you and I look at the foundation, and that next foundation point that I want us to see, and that is Jesus Christ. And if I get the... I'm not technically minded. My mama said, Larry, get away from that wheelbarrow. You don't know nothing about machinery. But anyway, Christ. That foundation must be built upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the book of Colossians, chapter number... Well, as a matter of fact, the book of Colossians, the entire book, is directed toward the preeminence of Jesus Christ. When you and I look at Colossians chapter number 1, for an example, if you go to verse number 15 and you read down through verse number 23, here's what you're going to find out. The Bible says, Paul writing, that he is the image of the invisible God. Would you like to see God? Oh, you remember Moses? Oh, Moses said, I want to see. And God said, I'm going to say, I'll pass by and I'll let you see my back. And the Bible says, no man hath seen God at any time. And so, do you want a picture of God? I'm reminded of a little boy. He was in Bible class and the teacher had him, said, draw me some picture of something going on in the Bible. The little boy was drawing and the teacher said, what is that? And he said, that's a picture of God. Teacher said, nobody knows what God looks like. He said, they will when I get through. And my friend, if you want to see a picture of God, look at Christ. The Bible says He is the image. And in those verses, Colossians 1, 15 through 23, the Bible talks about the fact that He reveals God. The Bible says in verse 18 that He rules. The Bible said He is head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Not only that, but in those verses, the Bible says that He reconciles. He has brought us out of the realm of the devil through the blood. He has reconciled us by the blood of His cross. And then He points out in verse number 23 that if we continue in these things, He requires... We see Jesus Christ as He reveals. We see Jesus Christ as He rules. We see Jesus Christ as He reconciles. We see Jesus Christ as He requires. When you and I, when we look at Jesus in Colossians 1, but then move on. Go to the Colossians chapter 3. And the Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the throne of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you appear with Him in glory. See, when you and I look at that foundation and we look at Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you recognize from Colossians chapter 1, notice what the Bible says. If you then be risen with Christ, I want to ask you a question. Have you been risen with Christ? You talk to folks and I say, well now, Brother Cuff, I'm a Christian. I've been saved. Brother Cuff. Yeah? Okay. What'd you do? Well, Brother Acuff, we was having a meeting in our church, and the preacher wanted, anybody want to be saved? He said, now everybody bow your head. Bow your head. If you want to be saved, raise your hand. Or will you come down and we say the sinner's prayer, Lord, I believe that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me of my sin. Notice what the Bible says. If you then be risen with Christ, my friend, you can't be risen with someone you haven't been buried with. You can't be risen. You go out to the cemetery, wherever there's one, I'm sure, nearby. You go to the cemetery. You can't raise somebody who's not buried down there. And so when you and I see this statement, if you then be risen, see, when you go back to Colossians chapter number 2, the Bible says we are buried with Him by baptism. Folks say, well, I don't believe you have to be baptized. Well, my friend, you believe in being risen with Christ? Oh, yeah, well then you're going to have to be buried with Him. Because then the only way, you cannot be buried, my friend. I was with a Bible in a Bible study last Saturday. And the young lady, she's getting ready to go to medical school. And she said, I want to ask you a question. She said, when I was a child, I was sprinkled. Have I been baptized? I said, no. Look at what the Bible says. Baptism is a burial. Now, all that happened to you was you just got sprinkled on the head with some water. Because the Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ. See why Christ is that foundation? Christ is our foundation. Now watch this. God, Christ, and the Holy Bible, the Word of God, that you and I look at the Word of God in that foundation. My friend, listen. This Word reveals to us what God wants us to do. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the Word, the instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Let me give you three, just mention them, quick things you and I need to recognize. We need to love this book, ladies and gentlemen. We need to love it. Not only do we need to love it, but we need to practice it, and we need to defend it. You and I need to take this book that has been given us, a Bible written over a period of 1,600 years, 40 different writers in 3 different languages. And when you go to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 3, and you come to all the way through the Bible, to the end, to Revelation, even so, come, Lord Jesus. This book. Someone has described it like this. Someone said, in the Old Testament, the theme of the Bible is someone. Someone is the theme of the Bible. In the Old Testament, someone is coming. Someone is coming. Isaiah 53 tells us about that. Someone is coming. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, someone has come. John 1:29, John said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And then, from the book of Acts through the book of Revelation, someone is coming again. My friend, the very foundation of your life, the very foundation of Christianity, a solid foundation, must be built upon God, upon Christ, and upon His Word. Have you submitted yourself to it? If not, do so today. We're going to sing this song of encouragement. If you're not a child of God and you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, apparently you must. You're here today. The Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Upon that faith, you make a determination. I'm going to change my life. Oh, well, I remember many years ago, probably 7 or 8, 9 years ago, there was a young lady who responded to the invitation at Lithia Springs. And so after, when I sat down by her, she handed me a stenographer's sheet, a piece of paper out of a stenographer's pad, written on both sides. And on that sheet of paper, she had written down everything she could remember that she had done. And I'm going to tell you, if I'd have looked at her directly in the eyes and read that thing, I'm telling you, it would embarrass me and her both. I mean, she, you name it, she'd about done it. And she said, I want to change my life. I want to repent. I took that, I wish I'd have kept it now, but I took it and I wadded it up. And I said, Kia Yang, her name was Kia Yang Wallace. I said, Kia Yang, when you're baptized into Christ, the Bible says your sin and iniquity will I remember against you no more. Wow. I don't know about you, my friend. That's what repentance is. I confess His name. I am proud. Now, I'm not going to go into deep. I'm proud of my name, Acuff. Now, somebody asked me one day, they said, you kin to Roy Acuff? And I said, yeah. But there was a lady out at Unity years ago. She came out and was shaking hands, and she said to me, she said, you kin to Roy Acuff? And I said, yes, ma'am, I am, but I can't sing. She said, well, he couldn't either. And so, I'm proud of that name. I'm proud of my name. But I'm more proud of the name Jesus. The Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ, when He shall appear, then shall you appear with Him in glory. Will you confess Him? Proudly say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. And upon that confession, Brother Kevin or one of the elders here or someone here, myself, whoever, will baptize you into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And when you come up out of that water, my friend, every sin and iniquity is gone. Won't you do that now?